Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we're talking about Rick's choice, Jinro, the Wolf Brigade.
And I actually watched it.
Yes, which we actually had talked a little bit about just beforehand, which is we're both very happy about. We were supposed to actually record and do this a day earlier, but some things came up. And then we also found out that Rick actually hadn't watched it, so he was reading Cliff Notes to try and make it seem like he watched it last minute. Luckily, we delayed it.
All I have to say is the Cliff Notes that I watched, and yes, I had to watch the Cliff Notes. There were words there. It played a video in my head. It was better than the anime. But if you listened last week, you already know that.
Yeah, that's neither here nor there. So one of the producers for this is Bandai Entertainment. It's actually aired in 1999. The dates for it are actually kind of a little fuzzy. It's anywhere from 1999 to 2000, depending on who you're talking to and where it's actually coming from and what they feel like saying. And then it's also based off of a manga, and the studio for it is Production IG, and the genres are military, police, psychological, drama, and romance. And it ran for about an hour and 42 minutes.
You could add confusion into that as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess.
I'll explain later, but yeah, I was a little bit more confused than I'd like to admit during like the latter half of the movie.
Okay.
So,
well,
now one of the things that I think will add to, I don't know if you call it the ambience or the appeal of this movie, is something you actually mentioned. It could be turned into a live action relatively easily, and a good one at that.
No, I'm not saying it could be turned into a live action. I'm saying it was turned into a live action.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, in 2018. Yeah, there is an actual live action for it.
God, I hope I didn't just shove my foot in my mouth and it's good.
Hopefully it is good.
Is that the one you watched?
No. Okay. No.
I was going to say, I watched the cartoon one. I hope you watched the cartoon one too.
No. That's what we watched. That's what we were supposed to watch. I'm saying that it would have been nice.
Damn, I just missed a really good opportunity. Mm-hmm. If I would have known that they had a live action one out, I'd have been like, what do you mean? It is live action. They didn't have a cartoon one?
Yeah. Damn. And see, and then I would start talking about how you always let me down.
Why you want to hurt me?
It's because I love you.
Hurt me so bad.
It's because I love you. That's why. So what's interesting is the director for this, he's also worked on a couple other things as well.
Really? Like what?
So the director, he also worked on, a Letter to Momo. Aside from this, he also worked a little bit on, not as a director, but he worked on the opening scene on Cowboy Bebop for it, actually.
Wow.
He worked as a character designer for Cowboy Bebop. He was actually a key animator for the opening sequence. He worked on Ghost in the Shell 2, Ghost in the Shell. He was he has been a longtime animator, so he's worked actually on a lot of different things. And he's just judging from his director standpoint, and he's only directed 4 movies that I'm aware of, I think we could or should expect more from him should he decide to direct more aside from that.
I'd watch it. I'm a huge fan of the anime style. And I was going to say the way the flames were hitting, it was very modern with a slightly older anime style, because when people are throwing Molotov cocktails and whatnot, when the flames hit and they blow up and it was done with just enough realism to make it seem viable.
And
it wasn't cartoony.
Right. What? No, it was actually done really well. And what's interesting is the writer for this, who's also the creator, Mamoru Oshii, he's worked on a lot, and that's including Ghost in the Shell. He was the director, the writer for this movie. He was the director for Ghost in the Shell, Ghost in the Shell 2, Avalon, Skycrawlers. He was the director for Pat Labor 2. He was the director for Stray Dogs. You know, a laundry list of movies and shows.
Bungo Stray Dogs?
No.
Just Stray Dogs?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think I've seen that one then. That's a laundry list of really good shows.
Yeah, and he also was the writer for a lot of the shows, whether it be the screenplay or the original or the creator for a lot of shows or movies out there. So this guy has a laundry list. Yeah, to say the least. And so just seeing this and his particular spin on this was great. And I say spin is because this is, in so many facets, a variation of Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's not subtle in the least in its comparisons.
Oh yeah, no, and it's pretty blatant, like right off the bat. It's like, this is for grandma. You know, you're handing a package to someone, and all the girls that are going running around delivering these packages, the little girls. Now, I don't really want to say little girls, but they're preteen, teenagers, young teens, pubescent, and they're called Red Riding Hoods. And then you have the big bads of the group, who are the wolves.
Now,
well, not really the wolves. They are,
yeah. I was going to say, they definitely, the wolves, one of the things they said in the anime that I thought was really smart as far as bringing context to the whole thing was, wolves are never portrayed as the good guys.
Yeah. And this was actually a very interesting and unique spin for that, you know, that in the end, the wolves, air quotes for wolves, they were actually kind of the good guys in so many words, but at the same time, they're really not.
I would say kind of, sort of. They were more anti-heroes than they were good guys. You know what I mean? They were what is necessary rather than what is desired.
Yeah. And it's not the group or people that you're actually talking about or thinking about for them. It's not a part of the highly trained group. It's this sect of people who are specializing or deal with counterintelligence, and they're the ones that are the wolves. They're the ones that are considered the wolf brigade.
Were they doing counter? What?
They were. They even say that's counter espionage or counterintelligence. That's the whole purpose of counterintelligence.
So who are the wolves protecting?
The country, their government.
Okay. So there's three main factions that there are three main actors at work that I know of. One is the sect, which is a group of rebels, essentially.
Right.
You've got the police, which is considered the Central Intelligence Forces, CIA.
The CIA, yeah.
No, CIF, whatever they called it.
Yeah.
Basically, Center Police. And then you've got these people who are like the CIA, the forefront. See, the guys are the people you don't want to see. They're the ones who are actually know what they're doing, who are actually good at their job, who are actually like, I see a problem that you can't fix in public. Let's fix it behind the scenes.
Yeah. So you have the Capitol, you have the Capitol Special Unit, which is what our main character Fuse was a part of. Right. The highly trained, militarized individuals that have the body armor, the guns, everything like that. And then you have the sect, which, like you were saying, is the terrorist group. And then you have the local police force. Right. Or the Capitol Police.
Police force. Yeah.
Yeah. The normal. The Wolf Brigade, the counterintelligence group, doesn't come into play really until the end. And if you've seen this before, like I've seen it before, a lot of the stuff that's really subtle just like really stands out to you then. It's like, oh, that makes total sense. Like, oh, I can completely understand like what's going on here now. Like it makes more sense. Like when they came up, Fuse went up the stairs and there was one guy that passed him and he walked right by the guy, right? He went straight to his desk and started looking around. He was looking around for information that had been left, and he wanted to grab it before one of his roommates came in there and saw it, because he needs to make sure they don't see that information that has been left for him.
That makes total sense.
And if you watch the movie, he says, we started watching him and talking to him after the tribunal. So after that, when he had his, basically his court martial, that's when they approached him, and that's when they actually recruited him. And that whole time, he had been not doing it as a means of his own, but he had been doing it as a part of his overall mission as to what he's supposed to be doing.
That makes sense. It's easier to turn somebody when they're already, when they're halfway there on their own, you know?
Yeah. And it's not only that, and this has a lot, I feel like this movie has a lot of, I want to say,
je ne sais quoi. I have no idea what that means, but I've always wanted to use it in a sentence.
it has a underlying focus or story at the same time. And the reason why I say that is because, take again, Fuse, he goes there, he, beginning of the movie, you see that girl, she basically commits suicide and right in front of him, and he's struggling with that. Well, yeah, you can PTSD take
hard.
Well, he's not just struggling with that. He's struggling with his own humanity, because they also, I've watched it both subbed and dubbed, he also is struggling with his own sense of morality, because he totally could have killed her. He really didn't care. And he's struggling to try and keep the air quotes beast at bay with his own humanity. And so he has those visions where the wolves are just tearing a person apart or killing someone, or he's with the wolves and they're killing or destroying or anything else. It's his own internal. I feel like it's a reflection of his own internal struggle on him trying to keep his humanity.
I could see that in the sequence you're talking about. The chick who's essentially haunting him is the one girl who I thought was the main character at the beginning, the Red Riding Hood, so to speak.
Right.
He's following her in his dreams, and she's behind a gate. She says, you can't come in here. And he's like, I gotta. And he's got a pack of wolves behind him. He opens the door a little bit, and the wolves run amok and kill this girl. It, to me, symbolized his feeling of helplessness at the situation, his feeling of complete and utter lack of control.
Yeah. No, I totally get that.
When they started calling him a wolf in later in the movie, I was like, does this mean that he now sees himself as the one who's just destroying and uncontrollable? Because it looked like someone with severe PTSD, someone who, like, I don't know. I don't think I've ever had PTSD.
You would know if you did.
Hear me out. I think I've had symptoms of PTSD. And what I mean by that is, so to get a little personal, my grandmother was a very small woman. I'm 6'2", 6'1 and a half, 6'2 on a really good day if I stretch, you know? And my grandmother was like 5'1", 5'2". Don't let her size fool you. She'd still beat the crap out of me if I did something wrong. She never did, thankfully, but like she could. And I'd let her because there's respect there. But she was so frail. I used to pick her up like a little baby and rock her back and forth, like as you know, for fun. I'm like, but I'd pick her up and she like, last time you did it, Rick. And in my head, I always, nothing ever happened. Nothing bad happened. I want to point that out. I always put her down. Everything was fine. She enjoyed it. I thought it was hilarious because I could pick my grandma up. And years later, I had like these twitches where the memory felt so real of me dropping her. Yeah, straight up. And I'd have to like shiver and shake. And sometimes if you're doing something monotonous, like I would do my job, doesn't require brain power. Thankfully, it's why I'm doing my job. but my mind would wander. And sometimes I would get stuck in that loop for, I'd say maybe 5 seconds. And then I'd like physically shake myself out of it. From what I understand, those are symptoms of PTSD, but they're not, it's not actual because it's not a traumatic experience for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It makes sense.
So when he's having the symptoms of PTSD and stuff like that, it's almost like he's frozen where he's watching this happen. Like the thing that makes me think of that is, you know what happened, because you saw the chick blow herself up essentially. But yeah. He's got these flashbacks of him just laying on the trigger.
Yeah. Well, it's not with her that he's actually envisioning it. And which is why, again, they actually brought this up too. Kay, the girl who looks like the girl that blew herself up. That's why they actually chose her. And it's not that they're just what he's envisioning shooting the girl who blew herself up. He's envisioning himself also killing the other girl too.
No joke. I didn't make that connection.
Yeah. So that's why they chose her. It's because she looks like the other girl. And that's why she was trying to pass herself off as her sister, because they look so similar. Their features and everything like that. They were meant to be siblings, even though they're not.
Just curious, was psychological part of the tags in this?
I think
you mentioned. So I thought that too, but a good maybe 3/4 of the way through, I was like, this chick's dead. She's not there. She's not interacting with anybody but him. She's a figment of his imagination. It's part of his PTSD. Like, dude went crazy. And then at the end, he killed her. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's not what happened.
Well,
and
then you missed the spot where she's actually in the van or in the Volkswagen with Henmi. He gets in there. He talks to her, Henmi.
Oh, yeah. Huh. No, I didn't miss it. I just
glanced over it, blew by it.
Yeah, because it was after that I was like, she's dead. She's got to be dead. So, yeah, I must have. Huh. Okay.
What's really, really interesting, too, is they tell a different version of Red Riding Hood, which I thought was great.
Dude, right? Dear Lord.
That was a very brutal and gruesome Red Riding Hood. That
is like the original way back in the day Red Riding Hood.
No, like I read the original. Grimm. No, I read Brothers Grimm's. No, this is like literally they wrote their own version of Red Riding Hood for this.
Oh.
Yeah, Brothers Grimm is not like this. It is not nowhere near gruesome for this. Like at the end of Red Riding Hood, you know.
You're right. I have read. You are correct. I apologize. I've read that. I actually have it somewhere here in the Brothers Grimm book. But in that book, the wolf does eat the grandma, but eats her whole. Doesn't eat her chunk by chunk or force Red Riding Hood to consume her either.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not her own mother that the wolf does either. Also, the beginning of it is completely different. Red Riding Hood's in armor that she has to wear out before she can actually go see.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes 7 years for this to happen. And she did everything she could to wear it out as fast as possible.
What I thought was interesting was, do you want to take the path of the pins or the path of the needles? It's a path of pain regardless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's going to be a rough, rough journey.
Yep. And now
I do have a question to think. All she had to do, all Red Riding Hood in this particular story had to do, is offer up a portion of the food that she was carrying. But the greed, I don't know what's greed, because she was like, it's not for me, it's for my mother. The wolf wanted the food. So in order to consume the food that Red Riding Hood had, he killed the mom. Didn't even eat the mom, because remember, her flesh was still there. Her blood was still there.
Yeah,
just killed her and chopped her up and made a stew, apparently.
Yeah, it was gruesome. I mean, like in general, that whole story was gruesome, but it was also very poetic. Unique and poetic. Yeah. And I don't know. I thought it was very tastefully done. It has this is one of those movies. I'm going to be honest right now. This is one of those movies where you have to watch it. It's not something where you can have someone really like how we're trying to talk, describe it to some people. But, you know, you and I, we can talk about this. We understand what's going on. Unless you actually
reference in our head.
Exactly. Unless you've actually seen it, unless you have seen this at some point in time or you've read the source, the manga, you are not going to understand what's going on or even the references. I mean, like it is just, it's one of those movies that truly forces you to actually watch it. And it's one of those movies where you can go back and watch it again and you'll pick up on a lot of other stuff that you didn't pick up on last time.
Well, yeah, because you were mentioning stuff that, yeah, it makes sense that this would be it, but with the knowledge of what's going on here. I didn't pick those things up. Like, for instance, when you were saying he walked into the room and did a quick scan, I just assumed because he felt he was under surveillance, he was doing, okay, let's just see. The guy that left the room wasn't a spy in my head at that point in time. He was just somebody who could have planted a bug somewhere.
Right.
Whereas you just changed my opinion of that whole scene because he was an informant.
Yeah.
Rather than being a spy against him, he was a spy for him.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word. But it was a fantastic movie. I would say it's up there. Really, really good. For 3/4 of the movie.
Yes.
And the first 3/4, the last quarter with the climax and it was a good climax. Betrayal, misunderstanding as far as who was who and what side was where. Like it did a huge 180 in certain areas and a very unexpected turn in others. However, the last 10 minutes made no sense to me.
Well, the last 10 minutes were really more of a one tying up loose ends.
Yeah.
Eliminating eliminating the people that were basically trying to remove the true protectors of the government or the country. So
that's you saw them as the true protectors.
That's how they're trying to portray themselves, because what they're doing is, well, we need to get rid of all these guys over here. We need to actually sacrifice him so that we can get rid of this group. And I'm not saying true protectors in the sense that they're there for the people. They're there for the government, like strictly. Okay,
that makes more sense. That makes a lot more sense.
Okay.
Because I was like, I kept flip-flopping on who the bad guys were. Because I'm in my head, I'm like, okay, so obviously the guerrilla terrorists, for lack of a better word, that keep blowing up random people, they're the bad guys. And then it switched to, well, Central Intelligence, or the police officers, are trying to essentially narc on their own guys to try to expose and weaken the government. And then so I'm like, okay, so the police are the bad guys. And then the people in the government are doing some shady shit too. And I'm like, wait a second, who's the bad guy? Nobody here has a redeeming arc. It just goes from bad to just a little bit worse to a lot worse. And you're like, I'm supposed to feel good that these guys are on my side. I mean, I guess I don't want them against me. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
But I did not see any point in time after, I would say, the 30 minute mark. And again, hour and 45 minutes. But after the 30 minute mark, I did not see anybody who I would want to ally myself with, because the one friend that you see, the guy who's in the police mentions, hey, you're my only friend from the academy. They're doing this. Hey, watch out. I'm looking out for you. I could get in trouble for this. I'm looking out for you. Hey, just a heads up. You've got a tail. Hey, just a heads up. They're watching you. There's not much I can do. I'll do what I can, but you know.
Yeah, but it's all part of the plan. It's all part of his mind games to be able to set him up to take down that whole unit specifically, to take down that entire special unit. And that special unit's used to hunt down and fight and eliminate terrorists and anything else that the government needs you to go and eliminate. Basically threats to the government, threats to the country and the government, specifically government.
Okay.
And
I mean, I can see the merit of what you're saying, where they're necessary, because not everybody, it not just can or wants to, but is able to dirty their hands.
Yeah.
So they would be what, the FBI, not the CIA, but they're like this.
No, I for us, I think they would probably be the equivalent of the Department of Homeland Security.
Okay. Yeah, but no one's good. The guys,
well, that's
losers here.
That's okay. That's the point of this. Like, that's the point. So like the name of the movie, Jinro the Wolf Brigade, is Wolf Man and the Wolf Brigade. Okay. In sense, and the reason why they kept referencing Little Red Riding Hood, the wolf, and everything like that, is even the people that are supposed to be innocent really aren't innocent. There is no one that's actually good. Everyone has their faults. They're either on either end of the spectrum. It's okay. Like if you're on the sect, the wolf guy is the bad guy, right? The government's the bad. If you're on the other end of the spectrum, the sect are bad. Yeah. They're both fighting for what they believe to be the true causes. And then you have people that are in the middle that are trying to
live their life.
Yeah. Live their life or manipulate things depending on how it is to have it tilt better towards a more favorable outcome for them and vice versa, you know? So now,
I do have one thing I want to say. Remember at the very end when, not the very end, but like maybe 15 minutes before the end where our guy suits up Fox.
Yeah.
Suits up. Fuse. And they're like, this is the
Fuse.
Fuse. F-U-Z-E. Sorry.
F-U-S-E.
The subtitle had Z-E.
It's actually spelled F-U-S-E.
Yeah, of course. So Fuse, when he's suiting up and they're like, this is what a wolf really looks like. The thing that made me think that he was actually a good character was, with the exception of his very last kill in the movie, he was never the aggressor.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is he never fired until he was fired upon.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. He was holding the gun ready to go, but he only fired the shot after his opposition pulled the triggers.
Well, even all of them, for every single one of them, he wasn't the aggressor. Every single one of them was a retaliation, including for the last one. The difference is for the last one is that after he was shot at, he continued to try and run away, and then he fell down, and then he got taken out.
Oh, that's not the last one I'm referring to. Last one I'm referring to is the chick.
Yes, that one. Yeah, that's when he's mostly out of his uniform, yeah. And he's given a hard choice. That one, it's not so much that he did it willingly. He was given a hard decision because he knew what would end up happening if he did.
Yeah. Yeah. They both go.
Yeah. So
he chose himself. Understandable.
Well, it's not even that they both would go. She would still die regardless. And he would rather she die by his hands than someone else's.
Now, the thing I hated about her and just completely hated was the fact that they kind of tried to force a love triangle going on. Not a love triangle, but like forced the feeling of she's in love with him. Because at the end, she starts crying. I just want someone to remember me. And I'm like, when did this ever come up? When did this ever make it? How does this entering here make any sense? You didn't like him. You barely touched his hand the entire time. You had a kiss maybe 20 minutes before that in the movie time. And like now all of a sudden you don't want to die alone because you wanted to die with him because you wanted someone to remember you. That's counterproductive.
Well, you have to remember that she also used to be a Red Riding Hood, and she quickly and easily turned on her people. It was a matter of survival. And for her, feeling that security, feeling that survival, being able to continue and survive on meant a lot to her. And then now she was put into a situation where, hey, guess what? You're going to die. And that's why even before they actually got to that point, before they actually even reached that point, she was trying to encourage them to like, hey, let's just go. Let's just run. Let's just leave.
No, let's just get out of here.
Yeah.
You and me.
So, yeah. I mean, like, and in all fairness, I mean, like, it's not just like a couple of days that's happened. I'm sure it's been like weeks that's actually gone.
Maybe a month.
Yeah. Total. So, you know, they've been constantly, and they even reference this. They even talk a little bit about it. It's like a couple line references to Fuse just like taking off. It's like, hey, you know, does he have a girl? He's always going out and this and that. And it's not like, so it's something that's been going on long enough for it to be a pattern.
Okay. Damn. Yeah, that makes sense. No, I mean, so when the way you explain the ending, it makes me want to change my mind because I didn't understand it. And I'm really glad that you and I could talk about it, mainly podcast or no, I'd still want to talk to you about it, mainly because you have a different perspective most of the time than I do. And you're able to fill in some of the blanks like you have for me right here.
Well, and
I thought her death was pointless.
And vice versa, you know, I mean, like, that's why we're good, man. You know, you bring a different perspective. I bring a different perspective.
When I watch it.
That's true. All right. So all in all, though, I think this is a good spot to go with the ratings here. So on a scale of up to 10.
Yeah. Well, before we go, how long have we been talking roughly before you cut down for time?
Probably about maybe 30 minutes.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't feel like it. It felt maybe like 5-6 minutes. I was just like, crap, not long enough.
Yeah, no, we've been talking for over 30 minutes, man.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, my original rating, after everything is said and done, like before I talked to you, was going to be like a 5. Middling of the way, give or take. It's not something that I would watch again, but it's something I'd recommend and I'd watch once. I'd watch once with somebody else, but I'd never go seek it out myself.
Right.
Given the fact that it's got the Sixth Sense scenario, where once you know the ending, you can go back and watch it with brand new eyes. Mm-hmm. And with understanding of the ending too, raises its value. I'm going to say artistically, I loved it. Loved every second of it. I thought that it was phenomenal because I love that art style. It's not super realistic, but it's not in the least bit cartoony. The effect that the fire had, the effect that the lights had, the shadows, the attention to detail was impressive. Reminded me a lot of Paprika. Okay. As far as like the random characters and whatnot.
The animation.
Animation. Yeah. I'm teetering between an 8 and a 9 because it's definitely better than a 7, but I don't know if it's as good as a 9, but I feel like it's better than an 8, you know?
Well, if you want, you can mirror my score because I was going to give it an 8.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do 8.
Solid 8.
So yeah. Yeah, I'm giving it a real solid, like middling 8 because it's one of the better ones.
It is really good. Obviously, it's good enough for me to actually have gone back and watch it again. So I'm not disappointed in that in the least.
I went before real quick. You mentioned you watched it both dubbed and subbed, right?
Yes.
This is kind of important because this is the one week you and I reversed ourselves. I didn't watch it dubbed. I only watched it subbed. Did the voices match?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Continue. Sorry.
No, you're good. Yeah. I, the reason why I watched it both ways is because I had saw it subbed before and I was like, well, you know what? I want to watch it in dubs this time, just see how it matched and matched up pretty good. It was actually pretty good. I wasn't disappointed in it, in the experience. So carried on the art. The reason why I'm giving it an 8 is the art, the story, the storytelling. It didn't leave a bad taste in your mouth. It gave it a solid ending, a sad ending. Yes. But an ending. Yes. And
true.
And any questions that you really kind of had, they do their best to kind of explain it, but they explain it in such a way where it's also easy to miss. So it's something that you can go and revisit and you'll actually get something more out of it, that you'll gain a better appreciation for it or a better understanding of it when you watch it again. So
that makes sense.
All right. So next week,
your choice.
Yes. So next week we're going to go with Tokyo Ravens. It's 24 episodes long. Genres are action, comedy, magic, romance, school, and supernatural.
I think I might enjoy that.
Yes. It'll be pretty interesting. So I know I haven't seen that one. So.
Okay.
It'll be.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. So.
It'll be interesting to say the least. But, well, that's all the time that we have for today. We hope you enjoyed this week's choice. If you've seen Jinro, if you have any feedback, viewpoints, anything like that on it, feel free to let us know. Message us. You can email us at featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com. At Those Anime Guys on Twitter, Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook. And we also have a Patreon. You get some bonus content. We talk a little bit before and sometimes after each episode. The episodes are usually a lot longer too, because we sit there and don't, not only do we talk about this show, the show that we're talking about, but we also talk about other things. And, you know, like we had just stated earlier that, in the pre-show, we were talking about the live action movie a little bit and how we have different hopes for it compared to the other live action movies that are out there for anime.
Cough, cough, Bleach.
Yeah. Death Note.
God. I was going to leave that alone. Dear Lord.
But feel free to look us up on Patreon, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. And until next time, I'm Jack.
And I'm Rick, here with a very unique Red Riding Hood story. We'll see you next time. Later.